so happy and just to be back here for worship and to begin this year with Psalm 145 extolling the Lord. And this is something that we are going to see whether we can challenge ourselves to consider making this year a very, very special and challenging year. I think this is something that we don't want to take for granted. I began the year saying to the pastoral team that I want to live this year even more consciously. If this is my last year of life, of ministry, let's make it count for the Lord. Sometimes we take for granted that we will just carry on, this year will be as normal. How do you know? Just received news from our staff over at a seminary in Yangon. We say that one of our students has just passed away. 20 years old. A few months ago when I was there, he was battling for his life, diagnosed leukemia. On Friday, 2 days ago, he passed on. Tomorrow will be the funeral. Just 20 years old, and his life is over. And even if you want to praise the Lord then, you cannot. Even if you have greatest joy and desire to go and serve the Lord, it's over. You know, we don't want to take for granted anything, so this is something that we want to consider. How do we make our lives count? This coming week, I will be again doing... Now, people do colonoscopy once in 5 years. I do mine every year. And every year, they take out 10 polyps in 1 year. See, if I count the number of years that I have had polyps taken out, if I hadn't done them, most likely I would be fighting cancer already. And I'm not prepared to go through that. I would rather fight it ahead of time. Well, this is a challenge to make our lives count because, you know, life is far more fragile than we possibly think. Well, let's pray together as we begin. Our Father, we pray that you will teach us how to make our lives on this earth count for something. And Father, we pray that you will teach us how to live our lives well, not counting the number of years, how much life we have ahead of us, but how brief, how fragile, how life can just be gone in one moment. We pray that you will teach us how to make our lives count. Count for something. We pray that what we do will bring us joy and praise and honor to you. We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. If there, truly this is the last year, how would you want to live this year? You know, I want to live this year every day as we read in Psalm 145. Look, let's read this, the first couple of verses. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. That is a great challenge. Now, I don't know how you've succeeded. This is 6 days. Were you able to praise the Lord every day, bless the Lord every day? Me, yes. And I'm going to keep counting. I'm going to write down and think of every day something to thank God for. Will we run out at the end of the year? 365 reasons to thank God. How would you list yours? Now, it's going to be quite challenging because otherwise every day is same old, same old. That's kind of a sad way to live. Question is, what is it? And so we want to ponder this word in verse 3 next. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. The problem is, how do we actually understand, fathom greatness? What is this thing we call greatness? How do we think of God's greatness? Let's not talk about unsearchable. We don't even understand where do we begin. How do we begin? I was reading a story about a little boy who went to school. And the school, the science teacher, said to the boy, I will give you an apple if you tell me where God is. Now, this plucky little boy, not intimidated at all, and said, sir, I will give you a barrel of apples if you tell me where God is not. Bravo. If only we had that kind of courage to say God is great in every sense. But what is greatness? Sometimes we can't see greatness because it's invisible. And think about this. What is this greatness? Just reading the story of a rabbi, a very famous rabbi in Europe. There are quite a number of few rabbis in the early days where they were very, very famous, and they were featured, and they were honored. This particular rabbi was dressed in very poor clothes, sitting on a train, and his companion opposite him was a very wealthy man, looked at him, despised him, talked rudely to him. It's really quite nasty. Well, the man kept quiet, went down the train, went out of the train, alighted, and then he saw, to his horror, so many people out there, rabbis themselves, waited to greet him. And then they greeted him, and then to his horror, he realized who that particular rabbi was. And he turned to him, trying to make amends, and he said, Rabbi, I am so sorry. I did not know who you were. I did not understand greatness. His rabbi turned to him and said, I cannot give you forgiveness. You want a forgiveness? You go to every poor man in the street and ask him for his forgiveness. Wow. That is greatness. Sometimes we miss out. Sometimes I think and I sit down and I ask myself, I meditate and I try to think of all the greatness that is God. What is it? And it's not easy to find out. You know, to me, it's just sometimes you've got to watch. The only way we can actually tell the greatness of God is to look at the works of God. Look at verse 4. One generation shall praise your works to another, shall declare your mighty acts. See, that's one of the ways in which you can understand God's greatness, when you look at the mighty acts of God. Otherwise, it's difficult to understand and what that really, really is. You know, I think many people are very familiar with stories of people who look after orphanages. Bernardo is one of them. You know, George Mueller is another one. Charles Spurgeon, Baptist minister, 19th century, used to tell of his own grandfather. His own grandfather was a minister, and he had one cow, and there were 10 in the family. And then one day, the cow died. And so he said to the children, we must ask God to help us. You need the milk. Now, and so he prayed, Lord, meet the needs of the children. They need food, milk. Unknown to him, and nobody knew, he told nobody, And known to him, there was a group of people over in other part of Essex in England, and they got together and they said, you know, we've got to do something for older ministers who may be going through hard times. The very next day, delivered to him the sum of money that he would need to purchase for the food for the family for the next month. Sometimes you need to look at all the things that are there and to understand the majesty of God, the deeds of men, the things that are done, which cannot be explained, but still done. Then you begin to see what are the greatness of God. And I think this is important. So every time I look at poems and they're written, you know, I remember a story. Yesterday we had lunch and there was a little bird that flew in. And I was telling the pastoral staff, that little bird that flew in, they were all trying to catch the bird, which made the bird even more frightened. They didn't catch the bird, finally. Remember, you know, how do people write poems? How do people find the words? The famous story is told of Charles Wesley. And then he, one day, as he was preparing his messages, was sitting in his desk, at his desk there, that his great cloak was there, over that cloak hanger. And then a bird flew in. Tiny little bird, and went to find refuge in his coat. So he went to it and, you know, patted the little bird, and he popped his head out to the window, and he actually saw a hawk out there. And that very moment came the song, "Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly." That is how inspiration comes in. You know, as we look at all these things, and I just cannot help but think of what God is doing. This is where you split, look at the psalm very carefully. There are two parts of it, right? So he talks about the greatness of God, verse 3. He tries to fathom this, and his greatness is unsearchable. But he tries. So he said, okay, I'm going to listen to how people praise you for your works, how they will declare your mighty acts. That is the visible, physical part. Is there another part to greatness? Yes. And then he went on. Verse 5, I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty. You see, there are two parts to every work of God. There are two parts. The first part is just simply the mighty acts, the miracle part of it, as it were. But what's the other part? It's a deeper part. There is a splendor part. There is a greatness part. There is an invisible part where the greatness of God is actually found. That is how we meditate on the greatness of God. Sometimes we focus on the physical, on the outward, on the external. Is it correct? Of course. We must recount the goodness of the Lord. But on the other hand, beneath it, underneath it, the invisible part is the majesty, the splendor, the greatness, the might of it all. Combine the two, and you will catch a glimpse of the idea of greatness. And this is the challenge for us this year. In other words, you know, sometimes we're so used to looking at how God has wonderfully provided, how God has led, how God continues to bless, and we look only at the physical, but we don't understand the invisible. There is an internal, there is an invisible, there is a profoundness of God's work that must be found. How do we do this? In verse 5, the psalmist says, I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty. Men, they will speak of the might of your awesome acts. I will declare your greatness. See, there are two parts. The second part is the more profound. It is the harder part. That's why Psalm 145 is different from Psalm 30. Psalm 30 says, begins with the same words, I will extol you, O God. And his reasons are, for you have lifted me up, and you have not allowed, you have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you. You healed me. They were specific acts. Can we extol God for the specific acts? Yes. That's why we call Psalm 30 seminal. The beginning, the commencement of thinking of how to extol God. 145, Psalm 145 is maturity. The thoughts are no longer seminal. They are now thought through, worked out, comprehended, and then he begins to try to express how he felt. And it is not just looking at the physical act anymore. It is trying to look beneath the external, physical, into what is the internal, invisible aspect of it all. And there he found the splendor, the majesty, the greatness of what God is all about. You see, this is the hard part. See, a lot of people travel all over the world to see for a moment the things which are there. And sometimes we don't see them clearly. Now, many people have know about the story of Joseph Scriven, the one who wrote, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Many people know this familiar story that he lost his fiancée on the eve of their wedding. And he never married again. But what profound impact did it have on his life? We don't know. We should figure out. Right? So he wrote poems, hymns, which was not known. You know, he never let people know that he was a poet. What a Friend We Have in Jesus is top six of all the hymns that are sung for the longest time. It's always listed, one of the six. One of the first hymns that many missionaries introduced to people is always, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. How did he live his life after that? He was so profoundly stirred. Well, he wrote to his mother who was sickly and sorrowing and wrote to her this beautiful poem, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. All our griefs to bear. You know, he dedicated his life to serving the Lord. And his area of ministry was to take care of the poor, the sick, especially the widows. He labored for them. He served them. He poured out his life for them as an unknown person. His final resting place was in Canada, although he was born in Dublin, in Ireland. And there, in a little town called Hope, a little statue was erected in his memory, in memory of Joseph Scriven. A person who died as a man who served a lot of people without asking to be paid. That is profound. You see, a lot of times we look at the physical and we don't understand that there is an invisible work of God that he is doing. For every deed that God does, you know what he's saying? That he is right there. His awesome deeds is the way he answers our prayer. And sometimes we take for granted many things. As I close 2018, I meditated on this. How will 2019 be like? I know it will be a year of a new medical challenge. I will probably have to deal with renal damage. Now, I don't know what this week the colonoscopy will yield. You know, but God's word to me was just so clear in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. That's it. Do we need more? No. God's word, my word. Paul's reply was, most gladly, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will glory in my infirmities. And infirmity becomes very real to me, more and more so. Is there glory in that too? Yes. If you trace the greatness of God. How many polyps have they taken out of me over the last number of years? Over 100 polyps. And my gastroenterology says, Pastor, I don't even have to look very hard. It's just there waiting for me to take out. And, you know, he says that you are just so prone to growing polyps. I have to do this every year. Well, nobody looks forward to a colonoscopy. Nobody. You know, and so they also do a gastroscopy to see what's there. And always they say, you know, they just wonder how I am still alive. Well, there we go. There is the glory, there is the majesty, there is the greatness of God, that we are sustained at all. And I think this is something that we want to look at. So as we ponder the greatness of God, if we really understand it properly, something will happen. So there are these of God. There is the greatness of God. You meditate on it. If that is true, something happens. What happens? The psalmist says, I will extol you. I mean, it is. I write poems every day. I mean, seriously, every day. Now, you don't get to read those poems, of course. You get it once a week. Maybe that's already too much. Right? But you just imagine, where does the inspiration come from? To me, it just comes from the Lord. The joy is there, the happiness is there, and out comes. There's something that is so real. You see, this is what we mean. I will extol you. It's not future. It's another way of expressing, I will, I must. This is the whole idea. And every day I will do this. You know, it's almost, you cannot help it. You cannot but praise the Lord. I mean, this is important. On TV, there is a TV show called A Chili Hunter. He's an Australian guy. And he goes around all over the world to eat chili. And I have no idea what is driving him, but he makes a move, you know, thing out of it. So he goes everywhere. He wants to taste, what is the hottest thing you can give to me? I can handle it. In the last part of it, we went to Japan, and then the man said, I have level 10. He said, well, I want to try level 10. No, you cannot take level 10. Try level 3. No, at least 5. So he gave him level 5 chili. I don't know what that is, but he said that was it. He couldn't go beyond level 5. He couldn't finish his bowl of noodles because it was, he says, I'm in physical pain. Everything is numb. He brought the sister along. The sister, tears came. And why are these people doing, you know, it's automatic tears come, automatic. So she touched her hands to the eye, burning. The chili heat has gone to the hands, touched the eyes, and he's just burning up. Why would people do things like that? But you see, this is the point of it all. This is what we mean, I will. I will bless the Lord. I will speak of the Lord. You cannot but. That kind of praise is beautiful. I hope you understand. You're not contriving it. This is not a choir planning it. This is spontaneous, even though it is I will. Can you see this? In other words, it's a spontaneity sustained. It is spontaneity that becomes, I am going to do it. And this is absolutely important for us to understand. And I will do this every day. And I'm marking 2019. I'm writing it down. And I'm going to praise the Lord. This is the day. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Every day something. 365. I want to invite you to do the same. Try. To those of you who have a poetic gift from the Lord, write. That would be wonderful. Seriously. You know, and after a while, the gift can be, it can be really, really beautiful and precious. But remember, behind the gift is the giver. Behind the work is God. We cannot but praise Him. To me, I really, really thank God for that. And so the challenge is, the word is to give God the praise that is due to Him in the most spontaneous, in the highest form possible. That is to extol. And if we can do this, it would be just absolutely wonderful. So I'm looking out for 2019. Begin with a praise hymn, right? Come we that love the Lord. Let our joys be known. We're going to go marching. And I think that is absolutely wonderful. Can we attempt this? Let greatness be understood. Let's look beyond the physical to the internal. Let's look beyond the external to the deeply invisible and there find the greatness of God. And once you have touched it, or if He has touched your soul, you watch, you will find a desire, a will, a spontaneity of wanting to praise the Lord, no matter what gifts. Last night I sneezed, have a box of tissues away. They're sneezing. I was afraid that my voice would give out. I look at what I'm going to do today. There's a class to teach in the morning. The message and the gift after this. I'll be seeing the Pines shortly after that. And I'll be meeting with people. And then until the evening service. And Lord, how am I going to last out? What do you say? What did I say to you? My grace is sufficient for you. And then in that stillness comes a quiet joy in the Lord. That confidence, that faith is restored. And there is the joy of the Lord. And I wish you this joy. But remember, not always the external. There is an internal invisible that God wants you to reach out to. And that greatness is truly unsearchable. There is no end to that greatness, but you've got to first touch it. And God willing, He will open your heart, your eyes, your soul, and see the grandeur, the splendor of His majesty. That would be very, very, very special. Well, let's pray. Let's pray and prepare our hearts for communion. Our Father, we thank You that behind every deed of Yours, greatness is to be found. We pray that You will help us to fathom this, to understand this, and to search for that unsearchable greatness. And we pray that You will bless as we begin this year, beginning with communion. We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.